Champions, today we have a very inspirational guest, Sulaima Qurani. While she is not a chess player, her journey is truly remarkable and very insightful. Born in Morocco, Sulaima faced numerous challenges after moving to Denmark, eventually finding herself running away from home. She experienced homelessness, dropped out of school, and had every reason to feel lost in life. Yet, she got to the level where she would fly on her jets. She also received lots of awards, including 40 Under 40, Top 100 Woman, and many more. But she realized something profound. Despite her success, she was not truly happy, and this was when she discovered the importance of excitement for lasting happiness. And then what did she do? She threw away everything and... Okay, I don't want to spoil everything, but get ready for an incredible one-hour dive into the very insightful, inspirational, and spiritual world of Sulaima Qurani. Sulaima, thank you very much for keeping your promise, keeping your word, and coming now to Chessboot Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm deeply honored to be here today, and I'm really excited about our conversation.
This is the times that I am really, really excited. Not that when people are saying trying to be nice and saying meet you. And let me tell the listeners how we met each other and how this started. So last week, Sulaima, I didn't know who is she. She was just friend of friend. So she messaged that she wanted me interview, and then I said yes. So it's friend of friend. I respect friends. So yes. And then, before we started to record the interview, when you usually speak with each other, hey, how are you doing? Suddenly, we started to talk, and she said a few things. If I'm more correctly, it's few sentences. And I said, Sulaima, wait. I will give this interview if you keep the promise, and the next week you come to my podcast and I interview you. So this is how we met, and this is how Sulaima keep her word, and here we are. So thank you very much again. Sulaima, your story, it's so, so interesting and inspirational, and there are so many things to learn, even the few things you said before we recorded this, and I was taking notes here with me. By the way, guys, this is the first time, you might remember, I'm taking pen and paper with me during the episode because I'm going to take away everything I will learn from her. So I want to start from the point where you were homeless, right, at 13?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me, please, how you got to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, thank you. So I'm Danish-Moroccan. I was born in Morocco. I have a Danish mom and a Moroccan dad. And they moved back to Scandinavia when I was just a baby. I grew up in Denmark. My parents had a very, passionate marriage, to put it frankly. And we moved around a lot. My dad was a well-educated and engineer, but he was a Muslim and he was Moroccan. And back in the 70s, it was very hard to be an Arab in Scandinavia. So we never knew where we had to live. We never knew how we would pay our bills. Most of my childhood, my parents were not picking up the phone because we couldn't pay our bills. We had to like turn off the light so that people couldn't see we were home. My parents officially went bankrupt twice. That's a profound moment. And we moved and lived in all kinds of small cities. I wouldn't even call it cities, but just towns, you know, with 700-800 people living there. Shitholes, basically. You know, like, I went to the worst schools you can imagine. I don't even remember how many schools I've been to. I moved more than 40, maybe 50 times in my life, okay? So,
wow.
You have to imagine this. And when I got confirmed, I'm a Protestant, so when I got confirmed at the age of 13, my classmates, they went out and, you know, you get money usually in gifts. And my classmates, they went out and bought, you know, a bicycle or whatever, right? I bought a ticket So one night I just packed my stuff, and I knew once I was confirmed and once I would have that cash, I would run away. That was my plan. I would escape my life. Like, I would no longer live in that little town where there was no inspiration. My parents were drinking, having a very violent relationship. I was extremely unhappy. I went to the worst school you can imagine. I don't know, with 65 students, we didn't learn anything. I was fighting my classmates all the time. I was bullied because I was brown. You know, it was just horrible. So I decided to run away.
Wait. Do you have brothers, sisters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an older brother from my mom's previous marriage. And I had a sister that's between me and my brother. She died when she was 40. Of kidney failure. So yes, I have two siblings, but they were not.
Then at the time you were running away alone.
I was running away alone. Yes.
So you were ready to just leave everything and just run.
I just left. I left a note in my room that they shouldn't be searching for me, but they did. So there was a national search in newspapers and police and, you know, everything, and I was just, you know, hiding, and I kind of survived that period of the grace of other people who did hide me or give me a bed or, you know. But eventually...
Where did you sleep your first night?
At my uncle's house on an island where he lived with his family. So I went to their house first. And then the police were searching me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your uncle didn't try to change your mind and say you should go back?
No. It was very well known within my family that I was very unhappy with my mom and dad. We had a very troubled relationship, to be quite honest. I mean, I love them dearly. I've forgiven them long time ago. You know, we can talk about that too, because you cannot live with those traumas. And so that's a whole next chapter. I've been dealing with my traumas and we have been doing some healing. My dad passed away, unfortunately, 17 years ago. So I never got the chance to really, really talk this through. But he knows that I forgave him. But it was a very traumatized time. It was 6 months. And the police eventually found me and they put me back to my parents' house. And then I went back to my old school. And the school's response was I was in seventh grade, and the school's response to my situation was that they actually kicked me out. They said, you're no longer welcome in your school because the parents don't want you to hang around with their children because you are such a troublemaker. And so I ran away again, in fact. And this time the police put me in children's home, and they later put me in foster care, and it was impossible for me to find any schools who wanted me. I was rejected to every school you can imagine. So I was also cut off from education for the longest time. But then there was one school who said, we would like to take you. But you know, honestly, it was a school for criminals. So what I wasn't capable of before, I definitely learned there. And that was how it was. And my foster care experience was positive. Indeed, I still have a really good relationship with them, as I have with my mom also. So, so it was very traumatizing for me. Not only to lose my home and my house and my family, but to be kicked out of school. So in fact, I'm a seventh grade school dropout, per se. I did recover later, and I did get educated. I have an MBA from CBS, and I've now been to Harvard, Yale, Cambridge, ISB, the 10 biggest universities in the world. I've studied there. I have taught there. So I would say I have catched up. But for the longest time, my life was only about surviving.
I was, I think, 15 when I didn't run from the home. Mm-hmm. Just the first time when I felt that I can do anything. I was 15. So when at 13, you run away from home.
Yeah.
Like, did you have that feeling, I can rebuild my life. I will survive this. Did you have that confidence at 13?
Yeah. I was definitely not afraid. I should also say that I now look back at a life where I have traveled to, I would say, 50 countries by myself, like by myself. So I would say I'm relatively fearless when it comes to being alone on my own. Like, I thrive as a lonely cowboy, right? No, I was not afraid at any point of time, not even when I was put in children's home with the most criminal, troubled youth you can imagine, or being picked up by the police or came into foster care. And by the age of 15, 15 and a half, I moved out by myself, like for myself. It's not like I stayed in foster care until I was 18. And no. I was there for 1 year and a half, and then I've been living on my own since then. Being responsible for homework and house and paying bills and, well,
How you are taking care of that everything? How you are paying bills?
So in Denmark, you can get money from the welfare state, right? You get a check every month. It's not a lot, but you get money, so that's very special. Not all countries have that welfare system, and I've always been working since I was 15. I've been cleaning in the nights. I was a cleaning lady. I was a dishwasher at a restaurant. I was serving at restaurants. Just all kinds of, what would you say, manual, you know, labor work. And I've worked ever since. All my weekends, you know, when my girlfriends bought lipsticks and went out at nights, I went cleaning or working. So what it has left me with is a very high work ethics, discipline and focus. I'm a very serious person. I'm also fun, but I'm a serious person because up till now, most, if not all my life has been about surviving. So since your audience are chess players, people who are used to gaming and investing and thinking things through, well, I think we share the same mindset, to be honest. I just don't play chess, but I do play business, if you like, right? I'm figuring out how to build unicorns, tech startups, raise millions of dollars and making it through business. Because business is really about mindset. It's about understanding your risk profile. It's about having a poker face sometimes. It's about hustling and getting to find out what is the next move. What do I need to learn to make the next move in my life? What is the next step? So no, not afraid, not worried. You said you knew by the age of 15 that you would make it. You had a faith in that. I knew I was protected somehow. I just knew, somehow I knew already when I was much younger than 13, maybe 8 or 9. Life is not going to be easy. I knew that. I knew that, right? But I had a faith and a trust that if I focus and keep doing the right things and make smart choices, I would get there.
You know, one of the reasons I started the Chess Mode podcast, it's not that I just wanted to have a chess podcast. So there are chess podcasts. I felt there is a very big missing point that chess players don't understand or underestimate. It is improving in chess, becoming a top. It's not just about skills. It's not just about the hard work. It's a lot about mindset. And this is what you said, that business is the same thing. It's mindset. Exactly. This is why we started the Chess Mode podcast. And about that earlier years gave you work ethic, discipline, yeah, that everything. I recall another quote, just the opposite quote of that. It said, I was driving one day, and it was one of the common days when I'm driving, I'm listening something, and there is a quote, and I can have a car accident at that moment because it's so strong. It said that talent can be a curse. And then it went to explain that when you have talent, very often you just get things because you are talented. You get that XYZ things. You became very good at your particular thing. It can be a chess. In this case, you can become a grandmaster because you are talented. But you never developed the life skills, the mindset, the work ethic, the discipline, and then at some point if you try in your life something else, at some point in your life you have some life struggle, can be relationship, can be family things, can be any issues, you are not prepared because during your earlier years, you didn't develop that skills that me and you, like I was also not a talented chess player, so I had to work a lot to learn how to work, to learn how to keep that discipline and everything. So that it's interesting at earlier ages when we can have some troubles like you had at 13, yeah, it can give us such a gift from life that years it seems like I have the worst childhood. But actually, it can be a gift in some way of looking, just the same way as the talent can be a curse.
Well, honestly, I'm not very talented. In fact, only one teacher throughout all the years I've studied, only one teacher have told me that I have a talent. And he's the only teacher. I was, I think, 16. And he said, he pulled me aside and he said, Sulaima, you are so gifted with communication and your emotional intelligence. And you have a social influence position. People follow you. Like, that's leadership. He didn't say, you know, I'm not good at math. I'm not good at science. In fact, I don't recall learning anything from school. Like, honestly, I would say Well, I don't think my family will agree, but within deep inside me, I feel like my school educational level is more like a fourth grader, right? And that's pretty much ish where I stopped learning anything because surviving life kind of took over. So I'm not the traditional talent, right? I mean, you would never, if you were investing, let's say you went into a classroom and you looked at all those people and the grades and, you know, who would you invest in? I don't think you would invest in me. I did not have a lunch bag, right? I didn't have clean clothes. My underlegs were bitten by, you know, a box in my house because it was so dirty, you know, and not good at the traditional schooling things, right? I mean, so I don't think that anyone would be betting on me and no one saw my talent. And I'm not even good looking either. You know, I don't have those traits that usually can take you ahead in life, right? So I had to find other ways to make it. And the one thing that I have that I think many people don't, that is that I dare to think without limitations. Like I can come up with the craziest thing you can imagine, like possibly imagining. And then I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to meet the Pope. I'm going to race $10 million. I'm going to, you know, and I go out and do it. So I think I don't have the same limits in my mind. Also because I'm not afraid of losing it all. My risk profile is really aggressive. So much so that, as you know, when I left Denmark in 2017, I had that at that point become, you know, Nordic 20, 100 under 100 most influential people, 40 under 40, young global leader by the World Economic Forum, and very, very exclusive prize award. I have a list that is very long of all the awards that I had received at the age of 40, right? And remember, my starting point was homeless, street child, no education, seventh grade school dropout. By the age of 40, I made hundreds of thousands per month. If I was late for a meeting, I even chartered a private jet. You know, my kids went to private school and we were the most wealthy, highest donating family in the private school. You kind of get a picture, right? I was so unhappy, profoundly more unhappy than I've ever been in my life. So luckily, I'm married to the love of my life with whom I've been together for 28 years. I really do know how to stay married. That's the thing I'm very proud of.
That's another episode. We will come back to it one day.
Marriage, love, don't even get me started. You should invest in that because that is really the core foundation. If you're truly loved and if you have the capacity to love another human being, there's nothing you cannot do in life. because a lot of things we do in life is all about getting laid or getting loved or, you know, so if you have those things settled, then you have a whole other drive in your life that is not driven by that unhealthy ego, but it's about something else that is profoundly more impactful and will drive you more positively and give you better energy and vibration, and you attract things on a whole next level. But I think that's for another podcast. But I was so profoundly unhappy, which was a surprise to me, because I thought once I receive all these awards, once I'm shaking hands with the Pope, once I've done all these things, then I'll be happy, right? But there was this big hole inside me that I couldn't fill out. It's just impossible. And I was speaking to thousands and thousands of people every month. I've written books, 16 books in total, with either published through a publisher with myself as an author or co-authored or whatever. I did my TEDx talks. You know, I did all these things that I thought would make my life meaningful.